Ladies and gentlemen, buckle up for the sex. It's the Apropos of Nothing podcast.
With your hosts.
Salsa.
James.
And Jenna.
And Chicken.
Yes, there's apparently, I am the only one who is not going to be loudly chewing on this show.
I'm not like going to loudly chew.
I'll just loudly drink instead. What are we drinking?
We are having some more New Glarus. I picked up their raspberry tart.
Which is good.
I haven't had it before, and I'm looking forward to it. Yeah, no. This is a brand new experience for me.
I'm actually going
to
try
this. Yeah, Jenna is also going to partake.
No, this is phenomenal.
I have a Dr. Tiki as a backup in case this goes south.
Dr. Tiki!
All right.
So happy right now. Good. Okay, so...
I mean...
First response was good. And
oh,
then,
God, yeah. The raspberry and the tart is phenomenal.
And then the ops.
There was... And it's not nearly as strong. Like, get me drunk enough. I'll do it.
You'll partake of the hoppiness?
Yeah.
Had a date like that?
Oh, and how. How do you think Jessa happened? So anyway, actually, wow. The raspberry and the tart in that is really fucking good.
Wow.
You used to only be able to get these in 750s. It's only been in the last half year or so that you were able to get these in small bottles.
That is real fucking good.
Yeah. Yes, it is. So hey everybody, what you been up to?
Hey Dr. Nick.
James, what have you been up to? I'll go first.
Yeah. thought you might.
I don't even know how to say this.
Oh, I'm glad you started then.
Yeah, I don't know how to say this in the way that will have the most impact, like for the momentousness of what it is, but I performed at Circus World.
That's fucking awesome.
It really is.
Not only did I perform at
that
Circus World.
That is so circus.
Not only did I perform at Circus World.
As fuck.
I performed in the Hippodrome at Circus World.
Oh my God, yes.
Which is the drone
where they keep the hippos. Yes. It is a permanent structure on the site. Okay, so backing up. Circus World, for those that do not know, is in Baraboo, Wisconsin, and it is...
Unbearable?
Oh, let him go. Stop interrupting him. I would be so pissed and annoyed at you right now, and you wouldn't even know, because you wouldn't have noticed that you interrupted me five times.
That's true.
Talk about the amazingness of Circus World. Salsa.
No, for those that do not know, Circus World in Baraboo is... Baraboo is where, when the Ringling Brothers... emigrated to this country, Baraboo is where they ended up.
Okay.
Because, well, they were from Germany.
Yeah, but you said emigrated.
Right.
Did you say emigrate to?
Emigrated from Germany.
It was to the country. That was the look. Like, I wasn't trying to interrupt.
When they came from Germany, they ended up in Baraboo, Wisconsin, and that's where they started the Ringling Brothers Circus.
Yeah.
Was right there. And so Circus World is the site of the where the winter quarters for the Ringling Circus was. So
neat.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's a museum now. And in the main building there are pictures, a lot of pictures obviously, but then there's like costumes from famous performers and some like circus wagons and apparatus, like some of the trapeze apparatus is in there, and these big fucking sideshow banners, which just make me jizz my pants every time I see them. They are so
the incredible
gorgeous.
Jizzing man.
It's just these sideshow, and I've said this before. I love sideshow banners. These things are amazing, and so that's like the main museum. But then you like. Take a tour of the grounds and you see like the big fucking wagon that held Gargantua the gorilla.
Oh.
And like they had to build a special wagon just to hold him because he was so fucking big. Mm-hmm. And there's like a clown car in one of the buildings. And
does it still have a bunch of clowns in it?
Well, it's like in the same display as a bunch of other clown stuff and like one of the outfits of a very famous clown from Ringling Brothers Past. Mm. And just so all sorts of information and pictures and stuff like that. And then like you see some of the other buildings. There's like the horse building, and then there's the elephant building with concrete walls like 3 feet thick.
Yes.
With the retain, like the rings that they, you know, basically chain the elephants to.
Yeah,
sure.
Like with rods going the entire length of the width, you know, all the way through the walls.
Because
You can't just stick it in a wall. You need to anchor it to something.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And just the place is fucking amazing. And then they have another building that is, and this building is fucking huge. It's full of all the old parade wagons.
Mm.
So it's got like the Calliope wagons and the Cage wagons, whoa. And like the human cannonball cannon is in there. Mm. And just all these really, really ornately carved and painted wagons that they used to parade through towns with. And they're just so gorgeous and ostentatious and over the top as circus things are. And in the back part of that building is a workshop where they still do restorations and repairs to these wagons by hand, the way they used to be done.
Were you able to go into the back part?
Not this time around. Most of the stuff was closed off this weekend, but I've been there before in the past.
Okay.
And last time I was there, like they said they had found, you know, this, basically somebody had this wagon in like a field somewhere that had been basically sitting there for 50 years rotting. And somebody was like, holy shit, what is this? And the owner was like, oh yeah, that thing's been there forever. And so they went, so they brought it there and they were doing restoration on it, and just amazing, amazing stuff in there.
Nice.
But then on the grounds themselves, they have, the Hippodrome, which is the amphitheater basically.
Okay.
And so it's got a dome on top, and then it, you know, the helmets that they have in like medieval movies that like, that they have like the dome on top, and then they kind of have they look like the top half of a flying saucer.
Yes, I do know what you're talking
about.
What
are those helmets called?
The top half of a flying
saucer. It's got like the wings.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking about.
But
I just
anyway.
Huh.
Well, but you know what I'm talking. It looks kind of like
it's the kind that goes whoop. Look almost like
the top fits over the hat, and then the bottom half comes kind of straight angled slightly down away from the head.
Yeah.
All the way around.
They kind of look like a pot turned over.
Yeah, kind of like that. Okay. Anyway, but
except
that's,
that it's it goes out more. So, mm-hmm.
But that's kind of what the amphitheater looks like. It's it's got this big dome in the middle, and then the seating area all around it. And Jesus fucking Christ, the acoustics in there!
Mm.
Like my God, the acoustics in there were just amazing. And you know, you get in there, and the first show that I did in there was in the morning. And so I had a fairly small crowd, and so I was standing really close to the front of the ring in there. Because they have actual one of the rings in there, you know, the wooden things. But my second show, I had a much bigger crowd, and so they were, you know, I had 200 degrees of people around me. And so I stepped back to the very center.
Mm-hmm.
And from the very center, the sound would go up into that dome and come back down on you. And it was just like, so Fondazzi was there as well, and they also performed in there. And when we got there, there was a carpet on the floor. And so we rolled that up and tucked that away.
Mm-hmm.
And we were done, you know, on Sunday after closing cannon, we were rolling the carpet back out. And while we're rolling the carpet back out, Adam says something. Doesn't matter what he said, but I go, "Oh, hey, your microphone's still on." And then we kind of stop, and look at each other, and he's like, I'm not using a microphone. And I was like, I just realized that myself. Like, with just him talking at his normal voice was coming back at us, so it sounded so it sounded like there was a speaker. Right. You know, it was just, that's how good the acoustics were in there.
That's awesome.
Phenomenal. But originally, nobody was going to be performing in there.
Okay.
They had this, you know, they had all of the little stages out there. By the way, the reason I was there was for Rogues and Ruffians Renaissance, Gathering of Rogues and Ruffians. Renaissance Festival. And the it had just moved to this location. It used to be in New Glarus. Now it's going to be in this location. And they had all of the outdoor stages set up in various places. And originally, Fondazzi and myself were over on this stage, kind of over in the back area. And it was windy, and it kind of sucked, and we didn't have a very big audience area. And there was this hippodrome, which was being completely unused. And I, much like 90% of the people there, just assumed that Circus World doesn't want us to fuck with that.
Sure.
Which is a reasonable assumption to make.
Yeah. Right.
No, Fondazzi went and talked to him and was basically like, it's windy out here. We're dealing with fire. We're getting our faces melted. Is there any reason we can't be in there? And they were like, well, we wanted outdoor open air stages.
Oh, okay.
Like, that was their whole reason for not getting anybody in the fucking hippodrome.
Right.
Was because they wanted outdoor stages.
Well, no, I get the aesthetic.
I kind of do, but at the same time, you're
the
like...
The hippodrome.
Exactly. You're like, we're going to put on a production at the Guthrie in the lobby instead of the Thrust. Like, so what? Fair, seriously.
I totally do. Yeah. Fair, I would fucking
do that. But you know what I mean? It's just we're here. Why are we not using this building that ever since I found out we were moving to this site 9 months ago, I've been chomping at the bit to be in? Like, so Fondazzi's last show of Saturday, they were in there. And then I was like, I'm not going back to my other stay. I'm doing all of my shows here tomorrow. Because I also eat fire, and I also was fighting the wind. And so I legitimately have a reason for going in there. It wasn't just because I wanted to fuck off. But it was also because, fuck you, I'm performing in there. But seriously.
Yeah, absolutely fair.
But Fondazzi did their last show of the day in the Hippodrome then on Saturday. And Jesus Christ. That was possibly the best show I have seen them put on.
Okay.
That isn't even like hyperbole.
So it's not just good for the acoustics.
Absolutely. They had that place absolutely packed. That building is designed for that sort of thing.
Right.
And so they were able to just do their thing, and they were feeding off of that crowd.
Nice.
And that crowd was feeding them a lot. And they gave it their all, and they did a fucking amazing show.
Nice.
Like, I actually talked to Katie on Sunday morning. I was like, you know what? I tried being jealous, but you guys were just so goddamn amazing that I can't even. Like, that, wow. It was that good. And yeah, no, that nice. Was absolutely the right place to put them. And then Sunday, I joined them as well, you know, doing my shows in there.
Wonderful.
And holy fuck, were those good shows. Just fucking amazing. Unreal shows. Like I said, the acoustics were great. Just the crowds were amazing. It was drizzling all day.
Oh, yeah.
So even though it was drizzling all day, we still had really good crowds. But you go out and you start hawking and you say, get out of the weather and watch a fire show. And
you'd
pull in. And so we had big crowds for all of our stuff.
It's fucking awesome.
And it was just absolutely unreal. So we the powers that be have already said that yes, that is going to be a stage next year, and we are all we are going to be gridded in there.
Nice.
So dang. That is, I'm already going to be performing there next year, which is fucking amazing. But yeah, it was absolutely incredible, and if like the amount of history and the talent that have performed in that building in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Like I really don't know how to verbalize it.
Do you do you know something about circuses and the history of circuses also?
Not at all.
Oh.
Not a, even
see,
a little.
I would have thought
bit.
That would be like
not even a tiny little bit. I know.
You should look into it. You might really find it.
Yeah, you might get into
I,
that.
I suppose,
a little interesting,
I guess.
Yeah.
No, so oh.
Actually, I did see a little snippet on Facebook where you were talking with Mr. Parks about it.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yep. Like when you get to talk to an actual trained circus clown about the amazingness and watching
two of them.
Oh, did because
I was messaging Skoy as well.
Ah,
so, oh yeah,
yeah.
Yeah,
because of course I was.
Guess where I am.
It was because you know that's basically what it was. It was just like I needed to tell someone who was going to get it,
to understand it, yeah,
who would appreciate it. And so I was messaging both of them, just like I can't even fucking like brain right now how how excited I am about this.
Yeah.
And so
that is fucking great.
It was a great. It was such a
yeah.
I can't. It was great. Had a good time. No. Mm-hmm. It was the debut performance of Dirk and Targe.
Yes.
Friends of ours who.
Yes.
One of them has spent the last 20 years or so at the fencing booth, and then went street. 27 years, and then went street a couple years ago, and then the other one was was last year's Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
And the two of them,
surprising no one.
Yeah. And the two of them have teamed up to be Scotsman at Large. And they had their kind of debut trial run. At this festival. They were only out there Saturday, which was unfortunate, but I think they had a fantastic time and kind of had a chance to cut their teeth in a very low stress setting.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, because these smaller festivals, there's just not as much going on as the larger festivals where there's constantly special events and this and that.
Oh,
going
sure.
On.
Right.
And so it's really, you kind of show up, you opening cannons at 10. And closing cannons at 5.
Man, that 9 o'clock opening gate show must be amazing.
Yeah,
hour.
No, but that's the thing I've learned doing these smaller festivals is, first off, Minnesota has some of the longest days of any Renaissance festival in the country.
Yeah,
I think it's second only to Texas. Those are the only two festivals with double digit days.
Yeah.
So most of them are like 10 to 5 or 10 to 6. So. I warned him. I told him this is what's going to happen. You're going to wake up tomorrow. You're going to get dressed. You're going to have breakfast, and you're going to look at your watch, and you're going to go, I have an hour and a half before cast call.
Fuck.
Because that is so ingrained in you.
Yeah.
Right.
This is going to happen. And sure enough, the next morning, Chris messages me, and he's like, hey, my phone's almost dead. Can I charge it up? And I'm still in bed at this point. And I'm like, yeah, come on over. And so he comes over, and he's fully dressed. And he's got his just
to
like...
To be fair, I'd expect that of him anyway.
Right, I know, but it was just like, it's like 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
And I'm not even going to get out of bed for another hour. And he's already dressed, and I was like, told you.
Well, you know why, right?
Because he wants to. I don't.
I mean, I've got 5 different reasons.
Yeah, I mean, the reason that I'm thinking of
which one are you going with?
All of the time that I spent at the fencing booth, Chris was helping with some of the management and armory tasks and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Morning meeting was 8 o'clock, fucking sharp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if you needed,
that's most groups,
right?
You know.
breakfast or anything like that, you needed to have done it before.
But that's the way it is at Minnesota, because we're open at 9.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I was just...
He was usually at the booth by 6:30.
Right. Doing work.
Yeah. In the morning. Yeah. Unlocking it, making sure everything was ready.
He didn't have to here. But that's so ingrained.
Yeah.
It's so ingrained.
Yep.
And the same thing when closing cannon goes off. It's like, that was closing cannon. And they're like, what? I was like, that was closing cannon. What?
I'm missing 3 hours.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's like I'm just...
Like, 3 hours is not a small
amount. I'm just hitting my stride here.
Yeah, I don't feel tired or shitty or beaten up or anything. What the
fuck
is wrong? So
they did a great job. I got to be on the street with them for a little while and just interact with them and other people, and they seemed to be having a great time, and they were very entertaining. The grounds of Circus World is along a river, and it's actually the main office and some of the buildings are on one side of the river, and then the site where the festival was on the other side of the river. So what people had to do is they entered through the main entrance of Circus World, they left the museum, they had to cross the river to get to the festival. And so there was one quote-unquote stage that was on the far side of the river by the entrance. Mm-hmm. And it was basically people just greeting people and kind of, you know, saying, head on over the bridge, this is how you get to places, blah, blah, blah. It was a quote-unquote stage, but it was more just a Walmart greeter thing. So we're going across the bridge just to kind of scope the place out. And we notice in the middle of the river, upstream about 200 yards, there's a tree right in the middle of the river.
Oh, wow.
And the three of us decided that tree was stranded and we needed to save it.
Fucking shit.
Yes.
And so we are on the bridge freaking out, like trying to brainstorm ways we are going to rescue this tree from the middle of the river. And we are trying to like enlist patrons to help us.
Yeah. Right.
And it's way upstream, so there's no fucking way we're going to get... But we're trying to brainstorm things. We're like, does anybody have a coat hanger? Something? Because we need to, desperately find a way to rescue this tree.
You take the coat hanger and you swallow it and you're like, thanks, I always feel better on a full fucking stomach. You animal. All right.
Some of the other MRAG people were there. Midwest Renaissance Actors Guild, which are a fantastic group of people. They are a lot of fun. And that was my weekend. I performed at the Hippodrome at Circus World.
That's you did.
Fucking stellar.
Fuck yes.
Yeah.
You
were in that. You were in that hard.
Like
elbow deep.
This is the best part.
Oh yeah.
Fondazzi and I had a private bathroom.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Yep. Everybody else was using the public toilets out there. They were just in the back of the little, hippodrome in the backstage area, which is just this tiny wedge. A tiny little bathroom back there.
You're confused because the bathrooms were labeled Ringmaster or Circus Clown, and you're like, how do I use both?
This is a very progressive circus. It's a unisex.
Unicyclist.
Yes, unicyclist.
Yeah. Okay.
I like that.
But
I actually have a unicycle now.
Ooh.
Just side note. Anyway.
The poor Circus World groundskeeper. Kind of freaked out a little bit the first time because Fondazzi just basically barnstormed this building.
Sure.
And we're like, we're performing in there now. It wasn't much of a question. but like he's walking the grounds and suddenly he sees fire and shit happening inside.
Oh my God.
And so he walks in and he's like, and they've got their fire props that they drop to the ground, and he's like, there's a fucking carpet on the floor, and he's like, oh, at least, and it's like, no, we pulled the carpet up, it's fine, and stuff like that. And he's like, this building is over 100 years old, and the people are blowing fire in it, and he kind of freaking out a little bit, but we talked to him afterwards, and he was okay. Everything's cool, you know. And,
oh, good.
But just but because he didn't know who the fuck we were, or all he knew is suddenly.
To be fair, I don't know who the fuck you guys
exactly,
are.
Exactly, but just suddenly this building, which has stood here for 100 years, which is his responsibility to make sure it doesn't burn down, suddenly, who the fuck knows is breathing fire in there?
Yeah, somebody's just, in there with fire. Yeah, fuck.
So.
Yeah.
Aw, poor guy.
We talked him down a little bit. And then, I think the best part was when I was chatting with Neil, and he gave me a name, which was the best part. He was like, yeah, go talk to this guy. Tell him I sent you.
Oh,
like, oh God.
Ooh,
oh,
yeah. God. So hopefully we'll see if anything comes out of it.
Oh.
Because if something does and I get some gigs there during like summer,
oh shit,
that would be fucking cool.
Yeah. Ooh. Fuck yeah.
But anyway, that was my weekend.
I don't know if any of
Jesus
us
Christ
top that. I got to add something new to my violence resume. Puppet violence.
Fuck.
Do go on.
So there is, and I do not want to spoil any of Klingon Christmas Carol, but I'm
there's
doing
puppets in it.
There is at least one puppet, and that puppet at least has one violent scene, and
okay,
at least one Jenna Young has choreographed that. So,
ooh, if not two Jenna Youngs,
right? I'm beside myself right now.
We have two Jenny Youngs. Do we hear three? Do we hear three Jenny Youngs?
Three Jenny Youngs.
Nobody wants two.
Going, gone. We've got two Jenny Youngs.
Nobody wants that.
Sold.
You want a date with two Jenny Youngs. She had three dates like that once. Do I hear four? Four dates like that once. Okay. All right. Good.
So, anyway. No, Klingon Christmas Carol. Rehearsals are happening. And I'm choreographing the shit out of some fights, and it's probably the one of the largest. Now we just keep adding fights to this show because fucking Klingons, right?
I mean, story checks out,
right? Yeah,
yeah.
So I keep getting called in for fights, and it's like, okay, so we're doing the fight in scene two. There isn't a fight in scene two. There is now. Yeah. I mean, like, legitimately, I show up and I'm like, okay, so I know we're doing a fight in this scene. I'm guessing it's here. Like, yeah, we're doing this, and this is what I want. Shit. Oh, cool. We got this.
All right.
And side note, I love working with Dawn.
Oh.
Dawn is the director for Klingon Christmas Carol this
year.
Dawn Krasnowski. She's absolutely amazing. And she and I think alike. I'm sorry, and you're welcome, world, but, yeah. Like, there was one point when I was choreographing the puppet fight, and we...
A phrase that I will never get tired of.
I know,
go on.
Right?
So.
And I just kind of, I was like, God, I need something like this here, and I just turn to her, and she looks at me, and I say, this thing, and she's like, yeah, that thing. I was like, oh my God, yeah, this is awesome. Like, it was just like our brains like pick up on each other and think of the same things at the same time right away, which is fantastic.
Good.
And I don't want to spoil any of it for you, but yeah, I did. There is at least a puppet with some violence in this show.
Shit.
So yeah, we open in December, and you should come see it.
I fucking will.
Yeah. I'm just excited that that's on my resume now. Mm-hmm. Like everything else I did this weekend.
Yeah.
Puppet violence. Aw, yeah. I did. I played video games with my boyfriend.
Ooh.
For the first time.
Oh.
We've been dating for quite a while, but like normally we just watch Star Trek and cuddle a lot, or we go out to restaurants with good food because we both like eating good food, or we go see shows, or we go whatever.
Yeah,
we haven't just like played video games together, which is dumb because we both enjoy playing video games. So, like, I'm about to go over to his place for this, and I'm talking with Jessa, and she's like, so do you know what you're going to play? And I'm like, well, something co-op. You know, we talked about a couple of different games. One of them is Portal 2, and she's like, so, you're done with that relationship then. Oh. Just like, like, if you're going to play Portal 2, that's it. You're breaking up kind of a thing.
Huh.
And I'm like, I mean, no. So we did not actually end up playing Portal 2, but...
No? I got in a fight with somebody else's girlfriend playing Portal 2.
I believe that, actually.
I mean, not like... I was just like... there was a very tense moment. Like, okay, it's fucking... No, just... You're solving a puzzle that they didn't put in here. You need to, like... We both had to have that conversation with somebody else. You know, like, with each other. We each had to, like, stop the other person and go, you're making this puzzle way harder than it needs to be.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
But, we did play, we started off with Illumilo, which, have you guys played this?
I have not.
Oh my god, it's the most adorable little co-op game, but even more adorable than Lovers in a Dangerous Space Time.
Ooh.
I know, right?
Oh, that game is so fun. Oh, fuck, there's a game cuter than that?
It is way cuter than that. It is a co-op game.
Oh, shit.
And or at least the way we play, I don't know if there's like a single player for it. Honestly, mm-hmm. I think the whole point is that it's co-op because it's two characters, Elo and Milo.
Oh, yeah.
And they will get stuck on opposite sides of a board, and you need to get to each other by solving various puzzles, and you go back and forth kind of a thing, right?
This is so fucking cute.
And the graphics are fucking adorable in this thing, too.
Oh, shit. Like,
James, you want this one.
All right.
Salsa, you probably
Elo Milo.
But James, you definitely want this.
What system
one.
Is it on?
We played it on Xbox.
Oh.
And it's not the newest Xbox, so it's probably available all over the place at this point. But, I freaked out at first because we were on...
Oh, shit!
Yep. Yeah. It's adorable. I'm not fucking lying.
Oh, fuck, it's super so cute. It's more cute than I imagined.
It's so adorable.
Oh, okay. Whoa. All right.
Anyway... So he opens up this game. He's like, I want to start with this one because I think you're going to love it because it's fucking adorable. And I'm like, I like adorable things. Wink. And yeah. Anyway, so he opens it up and I'm starting off as a character, as either Elo or Milo. I never knew which one I was.
Right.
I was the blue one. And I'm on some bricks, and I'm like, I don't do platformer games. Whoa. I'm really bad at that. And he's like, oh, no, you can't fall off.
Oh.
You can only walk. The reason why it's the... So it's all basically strings of bricks.
Mm-hmm.
But there are ways to get onto the other sides of the bricks.
Mm.
So you never fall off the bricks. But a lot of the puzzles require you to find out how to get onto another side of a brick.
Right, gotcha.
Right. So I'm like once I found that out, I'm like, oh, good. But I was just like, oh, God, I'm going to die. Yeah, no. Nope. It's all puzzle. You can't die. You can't whatever. It's just super cute and super puzzly. And the whole goal is to get to the other player. Like to get the characters next to each other.
To touch doodles?
Close. And then, like, they meet up with each other, and they do a little dance, and there's, like, little sparkles, and it's fucking adorable. It is so goddamn cute.
Shit.
Yeah. So we played several of those puzzles.
Yeah.
And then after that, we played Battle Block Theater.
Good.
Mostly, but that one is a little platformery, and after a couple of levels, I was like, I don't like not being able to jump. I did throw things at him a lot, though, so that was good. And then we did Borderlands prequel.
Oh, yeah, the pre-sequel?
Yeah, the pre-sequel. Thank you.
Yeah.
Pre-sequel.
Fuck, that one's funny.
Man, Handsome Traffic is handsome, yo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Poor guy. He's been through some shit.
Poor guy?
I mean...
Nah.
No, he was all nice in the beginning.
Like, yeah, that's true.
I only got to play a few levels.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
So I don't know what kind of an asshole he becomes at the... I mean, I do know what kind of an asshole he becomes. Yeah, anyway. But yeah. Yeah, no, he's got a nice butt in that, man. Like, we're following him through the beginning, and I'm just like... Damn, yo. Look at that ass. Like, Yeah. And then, so we finished up with, Borderlands. And it was super adorable because there was a thing attacking me as I was trying to reload. And he yeah. shot it and he's like, don't attack my girlfriend. It was just like, oh, you're cute. Like, I know, right? Like, yeah, we were busy shooting at each other, but nobody beats up on my SO. It's my job. Oh, God, awkward. Anyway.
Yep, I was just gonna...
Yeah, all right.
Yep.
Okay. so, yeah. And then we watched some Steven Universe. Because adorbs.
Yeah.
But, yeah. We're still together, so we can video game together, which...
For the sake of making Salsa as unhappy as possible, would you say it's totes adorbs?
Yeah. Yeah.
This is the face that he's making.
I love it. Just I love it. I love good. It. It feeds my soul.
I figured it might.
Yeah. But no, and well, that was the other thing when I was talking to Jessa before going over. I was like, so I'm going to go play video games with my boyfriend. She's like, you haven't done that yet? And I'm like... No. She's like,
Even know him?
She goes, how do you know if you can be in a relationship right. with him?
Fucking like, that.
Because that is a way of, you know, how do you know you can problem solve together? How do you know you can have an argument and not kill each other? Like, she has some very valid points in
that.
Oh,
yeah, she made a very good point, yeah.
And we played video games and we didn't kill each other. In fact, we quite enjoyed the time. When we had arguments in, like, Battle Block, we just... killed the other person, and it was fine.
Yeah.
Nobody got upset.
Yeah.
So.
In Portal, you just drop the other person off a cliff into some spikes, and it's fine.
Well, I kept yelling. He just kept taking off. Like, I'd be, like, checking inventory, or I'd be collecting things, or whatever. Be like, ah! I'm like, stop fucking... No, you kill all of those things now. I wasn't ready yet. Like, but I'm also... I do sniper-type shooter, so... I was going to be in the back anyway, but, like, fucking give me a heads up before we need to do this mad dash across the oxygen-deprived whatever so that we can get to the... Yeah, just, you know, just... Psh, psh, let me know. Don't just start taking off and then, boom, you're out. Like, I want to play with you, and I can't do that if you're on the other side of the map. Anyway, that was about the biggest argument we had.
Nice.
So... No one tried telling the other one how to play, which is great.
Oh, yeah.
I hate that. I hate that so hard. I'm having flashbacks, and I only kind of mildly... I'm joking. But, yeah. Very, very cooperative working together type stuff. And if we didn't like what the other person was doing, we just shot him. So I feel like it's good relationship skills. Anyway... I'm sure I did other things, but those are the things that entertained me over the weekend was video games with my boyfriend and puppet violence.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
No, my wife and I want to stay married, which is why we don't game together.
Right. Like, I get that.
Just based on your proclivities regarding gaming, I feel like that's a solid plan.
We, to be fair, have very different... tastes in media. Like, we trying to find a movie that we both want to watch
I can see that
is hard. Like, trying to find going on Netflix and going, let's watch a movie tonight just because the kids are in bed and we haven't. It's like, let's watch a movie on Netflix and then we'll spend the next half hour like, no.
Are you in? No.
How about this? No. There's what about this? God, no.
For that activity.
Then what?
There's got to be a name for that activity.
What?
Because couples do that shit all the time.
Couple bickering.
Yeah, like, I don't want...
But no, like, the Venn diagram and what we like...
Yeah.
...really looks more like an 8.
Yeah.
And so when it comes to gaming, the only games that we can play together are the Lego games.
Oh, I can see that.
And even then, we have...
I think issues. You guys might be able to do Elo Milo, actually. If it was just you and your wife doing problem solving stuff together, like.
But again, like even
there was a similar feel to the Lego ones with that one.
Even with the Lego ones, though, I am very methodical. Like, I am like, I'm going to methodically go through this room, make sure I've gotten everything, make sure I've touched everything, make sure I've broken everything. And she's like, here we go, Leroy Jenkins!
The button is there. I'm going to push the button. We're going to go through the door. The door is open. We're going through the open door right now. Come on.
Like, I'm like, I'm going to make sure that I've got everything before I hit the button in case the button starts the next sequence. And she's like, button!
yeah.
And so, yeah, even then,
That's similar to how I do it. I like to make sure that we've got everything and that we're on the same page before we jump through the door. Yeah.
So we don't get me wrong. We do enjoy playing those Lego games together, but that is really the extent of our gaming abilities.
If you're feeling it, I think the two of you would do Ilo Milo. Basically, there's only one speed that you can go at, which is the problem solving, and I think you guys would both enjoy that.
Mm, cool.
So,
I had a game filled weekend as well.
Yeah, I heard rumors about that.
Uh huh. Yeah. We have a small group, mostly the largest group that we can fit inside the host's living room.
Yeah.
We have a group of, I want to say, 8 or 10 people that all grab our gaming computers and show up and play games together.
Yeah.
And most of this weekend was all about, like, half the fucking group playing Monster Hunter.
Because
Monster Hunter World is just a fucking thing. Like, everybody there loved it. I haven't gotten started on it. I don't know. I tend to struggle with games like that, and I don't know why. Mm-hmm. We had a fucking blast. We played a bunch of different stuff, and I actually had a moment where I got to see what it's like to game with me.
Oh, how was that for you?
Exciting.
Did you want to kill yourself?
No.
Okay.
No, but it was just something bad happened. Like, an event was triggered in the game, and the swarm arrived.
Right.
This is Deep Rock Galactic, and we're dwarves mining rock and finding ore and that kind of stuff, but occasionally swarms of bugs will arrive and attack us. And I was like, all right, they've announced that the swarm is coming, everybody, like, hunker down, bunker in, and let's take care of this as a group, as a fucking space team, we're gonna do this. And one of the guys goes, oh, well, I'm probably fine because I'm nowhere near you guys. And I was like, that means you're first. Shit. Okay, well, that's okay. We'll just catch up to you. And he's like, I'm real far away. Like, real far away. But I'll be fine. I'm fine. Everything's fine. We're fine.
Oh, my God.
How are you? I'm fine. Yeah. And I was like, no, because the two of us whose job it is to carry, like, the really big guns and fight off the heavy enemies and all that stuff, like, we're up here. Both of us. Neither of us is with you. You have a pea shooter and prayer beads or something. Like, I don't think this is going to go well for you. And it didn't. It didn't. We got there in time to resuscitate him.
Oh, well, that's good.
Which was nice. But,
So you didn't kill yourself?
No. One of the other of the four of us also died in the attempt.
Okay.
This rescue attempt, and we managed to bring him back as well. But it was a fucking shenanigans. It was
That is what it is like to game with you.
Yeah.
Just straight up, like.
Yeah. No, I think playing D&D, the group that I play with has really encouraged me to have a different group dynamic in gaming.
I can see that. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you don't split the party.
No.
Yeah. Yeah. But we played a lot of different other new stuff as well. And I got to be there for Bryn Berryhill doing something super brave.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, because she's not, like, self-professed. She's like, I'm fucking terrible at platforming.
Right.
You reminded me. She doesn't love platforming games because she doesn't have a ton of practice with them. And she's like, I really feel more comfortable learning games like this on my own. She's been doing a lot more gaming that involves three-dimensional platforming.
Oh, sure.
Recently, she's been playing Shadows of the Colossus.
Okay.
And so she sat down in, like, and playing on the big screen, she played in front of a bunch of us, which I'm sure was incredibly nerve-wracking.
Right.
But I got to see her, you know, do this super brave thing. And then afterward, she played a different game with a bunch of us, a Red Faction Guerrilla, and it's Wrecking Crew, which is a fucking amazing game. You each take turns doing as much damage as possible with a time limit and limited ammunition.
Okay.
And you're just trying to fucking level buildings. And it's incredibly fun. It's a wonderful group dynamic. Even though each person is playing one at a time, even as when you're doing the spectating,
mm-hmm.
you're still excited to see how the other person does. Yeah. And you're wowed by the things that they do well. And even though you're, like, cajoling them and harassing them, you're also like, oh, fuck, that whole building just went, that was awesome. Yeah. Oh, shit, I hope everything finishes falling down before the timer goes off.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, go. Mm-hmm. Right. So it's, like, a super good dynamic. And then Sunday night, I got together with friends for a game night, and we played a game that I had purchased for somebody called I Would Fight the Dragon, and then there's an ellipsis. And I Would Fight the Dragon. It's a game that combines a couple of different card games.
I mean, I've got Cards Against Humanity mm-hmm. or Apples to Apples in my head right now.
Different from this.
Okay.
It's more like Bullshit.
Okay.
And it's also kind of a book-building game, but your objective okay. is not to get a full set of cards. The armor, the helmet, the weapon, the steed, and the shield.
Okay.
You want to avoid getting that because as much as it would, you would be honored to go and fight the dragon, of course.
Sure.
Of course, and you want to. But
I want to, yeah, but I
just can't find my helmet, right?
Yeah.
And then you lay down a card on top of the stack, and the stack gets passed. And the next person has the ability to go, but are you? Is it missing? Is it really? Or to just, like, oh, sure, of course. Of course you would, you know?
Yeah.
And of course I would. The honor has been passed to me, but I can't find my lance, so I,
yeah,
of course,
sure.
I can't fight the. But as soon as I do, right? But in a group of improv and you know, D&D players and just all of the shenanigans that we got up to in this game, it got to be incredibly fucking fun and very funny. But I was the first one to end up with the full.
Of
collection, and there is only one loser in that game, and it is the first one who has no excuse,
right?
And therefore must go fight the dragon, and very obviously will die. So
yeah,
it was spectacular.
So you did manage to kill yourself.
Yeah. But it was a super fun weekend.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay!
Sounds like we all had good ones.
Yeah.
Are we ready for a break?
I'm probably beyond ready for a break.
I think let's take a break.
Every time we start talking gaming and circus shit, we just go on.
It's like,
weird.
Yeah.
I fought really hard to keep mine short.
Yeah.
We appreciate it.
You're welcome.
But I'm also fascinated by circus stuff.
Yeah.
Mostly when you talk about it, it's like watching Top Gear.
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Don't get me started. We're going to take a break.
Okay. Yeah. Break.
Ladies and gentlemen, Brandon Patton was kind enough to give us the music for this episode and every episode. You can see what he's up to at brandonpatton.com. You can also subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, but especially you can help us out by rating our show. Check out our merch. You can go to society6.com/AON podcast.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
I'm Jenna.
And what are we going to talk about?
Oh.
I have my own ideas.
Then say them, okay. By all means.
So when I was in Wisconsin, I was standing in a gas station, and I had a moment of, like, intense sorrow for other people. Like, empathetic sorrow.
Because you were in Wisconsin?
No. Wisconsin. Wisconsin, my relationship with you is complicated on Facebook.
I have derailed this.
Yeah. You have. Well done.
So I was at a, one of the combination gas stop, truck stop, service center, oil change, whatever the fuck.
The car like, thing.
Everything. Travel center places. Ooh. Where they like sell mini fridges for the trucks and like spare radio antennae and all of that shit. Yes. Have the showers.
Yeah.
It was kind of a nice place. Like, it was well staffed. Everything was bright and clean, and it was a good place. But then, as I was looking through the drink coolers, they had permanent ads for employment at that location and other locations owned by that company. And they were listing the benefits, and they, like, up top. Like right up at top, it was saying $12 an hour for a wage, which it's not terrible, but it's not a living wage.
Nope.
And a lot of the people who are going to be doing this are probably the breadwinners for their family.
Yeah.
And just based on Wisconsin demographics and the way that that shit works, they're probably going to be the primary earner, whether it's the mom or the dad or the, you know, the other dad or the whatever. Like, you don't usually get two parents that earn the same amount.
Sure.
And like just the fucking the entire year in the life, because I've worked for less,
right?
And all of that accumulated time of stress and anguish and dwindling in the darkness of being underpaid, all of that shit just sort of crashed against me all at once. And I was like, these people are advertising it, which means that anybody that's going to read that ad is experiencing so much less right now.
Right.
And that this would be, and I'm, you know, even amongst our listeners, there are people like, technically I'm earning less than that right now.
Sure.
Vill is my primary income right now.
Oh, sweetie.
Right. So, I'm living off of my savings, but
But you have savings with which to live.
Yeah, and I remember how hard it was to like rub two pennies together for warmth on a cold winter day, much less how hard it was to get enough food to feed myself and another working person in a two-person household and pay rent.
Mm.
And I can't even imagine throwing kids and pets and
I was about to say, try
shit.
Doing it single with a kid.
Yeah, yeah, I can't. Like, I'm glad that I haven't had to experience that, because I can imagine that it is so much worse and so much harder. And I just fucking, that, like, imagining that, on top of my own experience for being underpaid and undervalued as an employee, all of that shit, plus just imagining what it would be like, I just got a new job today, and it's a big celebration, and we're, you know, I'm going to be getting $12 an hour, and, like, I'm not looking down on people who make $12 an hour or $10 an hour. You, 40 hours a week, 20 hours a week, you're working your ass off, and they're not paying you enough. $15 an hour in Minnesota is a living wage. And for one, functionally, I can't imagine. I don't want to, and it made me super unhappy. Have you guys experienced just like an intense feeling of that, like, sadness recently? That kind of almost bordering on anger, or like that there have been many things that have made me upset recently, but it's been more of an intellectual, like, I'm really upset about this, or like a visceral, I'm upset, but like that sickness.
Well, I mean, when we went to the Franklin Hiawatha, a lot of that was,
yeah,
you know, for me, like just going over the hill and seeing the massive amounts of tents. And even like just comparing that to the last weekend of festival.
Yeah.
Where I was in a shack where, you know, like, mm-hmm. so I didn't have wind or the rest of that to deal with. And yeah. I was still freezing my butt off. And I'm like, and it's just going to get colder. Like, yeah. I'm...
And there were showers.
Right. But, yeah, just the that was a part of that was I needed to do something. You know, because I was just... Yeah. Like, a friend of mine asked, you know, what do you do when you feel absolutely hopeless? When nothing looks good, when everything is just going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And not for you, but, like, societally, because... Hey, welcome to America right now. But, you know, what do you do for that? And, like, for me, it's like, well, I help. Like, I either help yeah. what is making me sad, or I just fucking help somebody with something.
Hmm.
You know? Especially if it's that just that, like, existential, like, just everything sucks. I don't even have a place to put it. Just help somebody, you know?
Yeah.
That kind of a thing. There's another thing that just kind of touched on. Like, I've had people ask, and I've been thinking about it recently, as I'm, you know, like, you know, I got this promotion and raise, like, last May, and I'm technically underpaid for what it is that I do,
mm-hmm.
but I make more than most of my friends.
Yeah.
And I've had people ask me, like, you know, well, you were on welfare. How did you do it? How did you go from being a welfare mom to successful senior IT project manager at a Fortune 10, an international Fortune 10 company? And I'm like, it was luck.
Yeah.
Like, that, yeah. And that doesn't mm-hmm. mean that I didn't work hard for it.
Mm-hmm.
But you can work your ass off and still not have the luck necessary to move forward.
Mm-hmm.
Which I believe is the vast majority of the population, and that's really sad. But yeah, people keep looking for the secret, because we have this societal concept that, you know, whatever it is, you can do something about it. It's a sense mm-hmm. of control or a sense mm-hmm. of whatever.
That's what the self-help books are all about.
Right.
Bootstraps and all that.
Yeah, that's just not true. Like... You know, you're not poor because you did something wrong. You're poor because our society still has poor people. Mm-hmm. And that's the majority.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's mm-hmm. that's just it. You didn't have that one person make that one connection for you that I did. Or you didn't have the right skin color for a lot of people. Or, right. you know, the right way of speaking or whatever.
One of your teeth is messed up.
Yeah. Or... You know, that medical thing happened. You had a bad thing of luck.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the only reason I am where I am now is because I am lucky.
Yeah.
And that's, and yeah, again, that's not to negate the hard work, because there was a lot of hard work. But there's a vast majority of the population is working really hard
mm-hmm.
and just does not have that lucky moment.
Mm-hmm.
And that one always just kind of hits me as a, oh, buddy, like,
yeah.
So, yeah, that's, yep. You're really just positive and exciting tonight, aren't you?
Something like that.
Yeah.
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 No, like these are rough times.
Yeah.
And, I don't want to turn away from that. I don't want to look away from that.
No.
But, you know, talking about it helps me, at least.
It can. And I think for some... And that's an interesting thing. For some
yeah.
people, talking about it can help. And for some people, it just, like, overwhelms you with everything. And then you just
yeah.
can't. Like, and I think it's a balance for any individual.
Yeah.
Like, any individual can get overwhelmed with it. So...
Mm-hmm.
You know, you do as much as you can when you can.
Mm-hmm.
I grew up in the United Methodist tradition,
mm-hmm.
and John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, had a creed type thing that was, do all the good you can in all the ways you can, as many times you know for all the people you can in all the ways that you can, as long as ever you can. And it's, you know, just that kind of doing good and being helpful helps with the positivity, but it's about the that you can. You know, don't overextend yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't, you know, there will be times where you can't, you know, and you just kind of accept that too.
Yep. I don't know what it means, but I just had to write down the phrase rhythm Methodist. Okay.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
There's an insult there somewhere.
I don't know what it means yet, but we're going to find out.
Figure
it out. Yeah. No, I wholeheartedly support that because, like, you can, I told when I had students, when I was a trainer, I had students and I would tell them, like, you have to be patient with people on the phone and it sucks.
Yep.
And you're going to feel sometimes like you don't want to be. But this is sort of my ethos. This is where this comes from. And as much as it's going to, like, it's going to sound like the salt crystal lamp ion incision-free surgery, you know, saw it on TV kind of stuff, but like a very fluffy thinking. But if you do good things, if you put good things out there, then your world improves.
Right.
And it's not, you know,
it's not karma. It's not believe that it's coming back to you.
You can view it however you want, but like when you pick up trash that's on a sidewalk because you see that there's trash there and there's a can fucking 20 feet away and you can wash your hands before you touch your eye or your food or something,
right.
You know, and you do this thing, then you are not just improving the world for yourself. You are actively improving the world for yourself.
Right.
Because the next time you walk down that sidewalk, the next time you cross that parking lot, you don't have to look at that.
Right.
Maybe there's other shit that you have to look at that you can also have a positive effect on. Maybe you can't, but at this one thing you have control over. And you can fix this thing. You didn't create the problem, but it is a problem for you that you can solve. And so you do this thing. You take the cart that's parked in the handicap stalls of the fucking, yes, of the parking lot, and you take it and you put it in the cart return, or you bring it back to the store.
You just got, like, really angry.
I hate it so much.
You did that, and I'm like, you know, it may have been a handicapped person that just wasn't capable of putting it back.
You know what, and so much the better. I'm glad to take care of that cart,
right,
for that reason. I'm gonna say that, like, 9 out of 10, I've watched many people who are perfectly able and not parked in a handicap stall walk 2 paces and shove their cart into the open handicap.
I have never seen this, so I'm
out of my car. I shut my car off because I was just about to pull out of the parking space. I shut my car off. I got out of my car, and I looked into the rearview mirror of the person that I watched doing this. And I made eye contact because I was standing behind her van. I made eye contact and I grabbed the cart because it was that fucking close, and I passed it to my other hand and I put it into the handicap stall, and I barely broke eye contact for a second, and then the cart stall, because you just became the problem for a second into the cart lane and the cart corral. And then I turned and I walked back to my car and I got back in and started it up. Like, I have watched people do this.
I have never seen somebody put it into the handicap. That's
fascinating
to me.
Well, and or like I see them parked up on the curbs, like in the gravel, halfway in the gravel, especially outside of Menards
okay.
and Walmarts and other places, and I like fucking, I know that if it is too difficult for you to return that cart, you are spending more effort to ram that thing up on the curb and over it into the gravel, like wheels deep into the gravel.
I like putting the cart in the gravel?
Yeah.
I don't think I've seen that either. Where the fuck do you go shopping? You shop with
assholes. I grew up in Maple Grove.
He goes shopping right after I go shopping.
Okay, this all makes sense. Yeah.
But no,
I'm like, no, I've never seen any of this. I have seen a cart or two in places where I'm like, oh, buddy, come on. But like, I've never actively watched somebody do something like that.
Yeah, I am perfectly willing to believe that a cart that is parked between two handicap, the stanchions that hold the handicap signs, in the van lane or something, that maybe a driver who has a physical impairment of some kind, that they are just done.
Yeah.
That they're fucking done.
Right.
And they can't, and you know what? I love that idea, and I'm going to think about that the next time that I grab a cart from there and return it to the store, put it into the corral. But I can't, because
you have actively seen it. I've never actively seen this, which is why I'm just like, my brain story is really good right here, because I don't have any counter evidence aside from your story.
Not even
now.
During the winter time or anything like that. Like, this was, so far, of the three times that I have seen it happen in person, and the one time that I was able to, like, again, make direct eye contact with that person and fucking solve the problem, sunny, totally clear, dry as a bone. Everything was just fucking, it was beautiful, perfect summer or fall or spring weather, and every condition was in favor of that fucker returning the cart to where it should go. And they chose not to.
I've never actively seen it happen. Like, I've seen people leave them, like, off to the side. Not in handicap, though. Like,
I've also watched people push them behind other people's cars. Like, the second time that I watched it happen, they didn't push it into an empty parking spot at all. They pushed the corner behind two cars. So that it wouldn't roll away, and then, like, one space away from their car, and then they backed out and drove away.
I've never seen that. I've seen people just leave a cart. But, yeah, I don't... Oh, my God.
Yeah, no. So
You like, shop with assholes, man.
Like, I have a great deal of faith in most of humanity, but I understand that some people just don't think of others.
Right.
They just don't. And they never will. But return your carts. Make donations to the food shelf if you can possibly afford it, because there are people out there who fucking need it so badly.
One of the things that I do, and this is not a bragging thing. There's more that goes behind the story. But like, I was telling somebody about this. I like humble brag. I'm like, no, it's. I'm nice to people because it makes me feel good. It's not for them at all. It's all about me. right. But one of the things that I do is I have I'll get a stack of ones, and I'll fold them up and I'll put them in my ashtray, and then like, if I pass a homeless person, I then just have a one that's easily accessible to grab and to hand over. I know that I can't give more than that and still be able to, you know, hit a decent amount of people or whatever, but maybe that $1 is, you know, one of many, or the $1 they needed to whatever, right?
Right.
So I do this, and where the story comes in is that, you know, I used to do this back when I lived... closer to here, but like, you know, the Tangletown area, and I could do that, and I would have $10 would last me like a month, right? I moved into a new area now, which is more diverse, And due to how our demographics work, that also means generally poorer. Plus, I'm over by the tents.
Yeah, Camp 55.
Yep. And, like, I did this Sunday. I did this. And last night I ran out. Like, well,
yeah,
this got really expensive for me to do, right?
Yeah.
But to be able to prep some of those things ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
I think is, it makes me feel prepared for being able to help in those small ways.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not just like sometimes you. I was talking about, you know, well, go help somebody when you're feeling that kind of overwhelmed or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes just preparing to help somebody can help too, right?
Oh, yeah.
Like just doing that act of, yeah. of okay, well, now I'm ready. Something happens. Well, we got this. Let's do it. But, yeah, just the... And I know there are a lot of people that worry about giving money to homeless people for a variety of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it becomes easy to think negatively
yeah.
as a way of, preventing help. And I don't mean that to sound like a, you know, you're bad because you're doing it. No, like it's a natural human inclination
yeah.
because you can't help everybody. So as a natural, defense, our brains do this thing, right? Like that's just human. Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
But where was I going? I lost it. Sometimes it's easy to look at a situation and be like, well, this is happening because of this negative thing. And I think it goes back into that control thing too. Like if there's a negative thing, then we can remove the negative thing and therefore it'll be better or whatever. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't have to because it's negative. So trying to twist those things into the most positive. You see somebody like speeding down the freeway super fast, weaving in and out of traffic. And that fucking asshole.
Right.
That fucking guy endangering others' lives. Maybe they're trying to get to a hospital.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're whatever.
That's always been my knee-jerk reaction like, is to be like, that unsafe motherfucker. And then... within the last, I want to say decade, I've been encouraging myself to think, you know, maybe they're on the way to the hospital. Maybe, you know, their significant other had an accident at work or something like, and they need to get there now. And yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, likelihood or odds, whatever, but, to have those positive things and to do those positive things are good for you.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what it does for the other people. And that sounds awful, but it's also true. Like,
statistically, you will be right part of the time.
But it's... I'm not even worried about that. Just... It is better for us as people to have that kind of worldview.
Yeah.
To be more focused on the understanding as opposed to the defensive.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I feel like when we expect the best out of people... we won't get the best out of people 100% of the time,
mm-hmm.
but as you say, we, at the very least, even if you get the best out of people none of the time, you feel better about the way that you are living your life. Your worldview makes you happier.
Well, and I'll say too, like I've been asked what the hardest part of getting off welfare was, and the answer is trying to overcome other people's expectations that I was going to fail.
Yeah.
Just straight up, it is harder to accomplish if people are not expecting you to be able to accomplish. And we do this thing in America where we're like, oh, well, you just need to get over that or, you know, work past that, you know, like, prove them wrong, whatever. It's like, no, if you constantly have people thinking that you're going to fail, they're going to treat you like you're going to fail. You won't have the opportunities to be able to succeed. Like there's a whole shit ton of stuff that goes into that. So yeah, like if you expect somebody to fail, they are much more likely to fail. People we do this because we're social creatures. We adopt the expectations or the ways of thinking of those around us. Yeah.
No, that makes sense.
Hey, Salsa.
Yep.
You've been quiet during us ranting.
I've just been listening. James and I have had this conversation many times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just... You guys covered it. I mean, as
in
far
short,
as,
fuck those assholes.
Pretty what? Much.
All right.
Yep. James is always there to clean up my mess, so I don't need to worry about it. And,
yeah.
Well, like, I remember being incredibly shocked when, during some of the original episodes, you were like, yeah, if I thought I could get a free beer by telling somebody that I'd lost my job today, I would lose my job every fucking day.
Hell yes.
And, like, I couldn't. I could never do that.
Takes all kind of make a world.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Even Salsa.
But,
mm-hmm.
like, I consider Salsa to be a good person.
Okay.
Yeah. I consider you to be a good person. I consider you to be a generous and caring person.
Is he blushing? He might be blushing right now.
No, I'm
adorable.
Laughing at him.
I'm fine with this.
You're so naive.
It's
I'm also fine with that.
Yeah, right. I like, I have about 5 different comments in either direction, and I feel like I just shouldn't say
which
any
one?
Of them.
Which one? Or say them all.
I mean,
say them all. Salsa, you're not a good person.
Damn right I'm not.
like, fucking, whatever. You're a person, and
you are a modestly acceptable beer coaster. It's...
Well, I mean, I
don't think even that. I'm way too chubby and...
I mean, there's a part of me that's like, you know, are any of us really good? Is there any, you know, such thing between a good person
any
and a bad
us?
Person?
No.
And
Mr. Rogers and
yes.
Bob Ross?
Well, yes.
Yeah,
sure.
No, but you know, everybody has their bits of good and everybody has their bits of evil. So to categorize people as good or bad in general can be a dichotomous way of thinking that narrows our limits, blah, 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 whatever. Brr. So that was one of the things that came to mind.
Sure.
The other thing is that no, James is totally right. You are a good person. I've seen you do good things. Like, I've seen you do, very strong acts of kindness when you think nobody's looking. So, yeah, take that.
Notice how very vague that was.
I've seen you care, very deeply about other people's well-being and happiness. I'm fine with that.
I me too, actually.
Yeah.
That was a conversation that
yeah,
and I
you and
having.
I just had that conversation.
We just had that
fact,
conversation
yeah.
where yep. it was like, you know, oh, we were talking about virtue I can't think
virtue
of the
virtue signaling.
Way. Thank yeah. you. And I'm like, honestly, like There's that guy that's virtue signaling that he's a feminist because that makes him look better. But I'd rather have that guy virtue signaling that than because it actually means that's become a virtue. If
right.
that makes sense. Like,
it's become a desirable trait.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I'd rather have that guy virtue signaling that thing and getting it wrong. to a certain extent than the people that don't think that's a good virtue or something to be looked up to.
I recently had a thought about something that I hear a lot during arguments with MRAs, though. And
ooh.
It's, aside from them saying that I and a lot of other people are virtue signaling, they say, okay, all right, but I'm just going to play devil's advocate for a moment. And I was thinking about that phrase very recently, and I was like, you are in saying that, and I understand your intention, but you are saying that you are siding, if only for a moment, as the legal representative of the kingdom of lies. Do you...
As a friend of mine posted on Facebook today, doesn't the devil have enough advocates?
I mean, that too...
Ooh. I like that phrase.
That too,
that's a good phrase.
But also, like, you're deciding already that you're on the wrong side of this argument.
Right.
Because without regard to your feelings about the reality or fictional nature of this being, we don't consider the character of the devil to be a good one.
I mean, I think you are overanalyzing the
I definitely
source of
am.
The phrase.
Oh, God, I absolutely
but,
am.
Yeah, we know what you're saying.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Well,
anyway. Should we take another break?
Yes.
Or? Yeah.
All right. We'll come back in just a minute.
Hey, everybody. You should like us on Facebook, apropos of nothing. You could follow us on Twitter at AON Podcast. Or you could join our Steam group at AON Podcast. Search for Apropos of Nothing.
If you guys like what you heard, you can visit us on our website at aonpodcast.com. If you want to talk to us directly, you can send us an email at either Jenna, Salsa, or James at aonpodcast.com, or collectively at feedback@aonpodcast.com.
And we're back. I'm Salsa.
I'm James.
God damn it, I was going to blow my nose first.
Well,
fucking A.
We'll go ahead then.
And I'm Jenna.
There you go.
All right.
Hey, guess what?
Huh.
I had a very long, very emotional weekend.
Oh.
Yeah.
And coming home on Sunday night and then waking up on Monday morning, rolling out of bed was fucking hard. I was physically and emotionally just done. And trying to get my ass out of bed and into a state of productivity required True Stone coffee. Because I needed caffeine and I needed it to taste good.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was going to be putting a lot of it into my body. And I did. And it was good because it was True Stone.
So I did something with True Stone coffee very recently.
Oh.
I made some.
Please tell me it wasn't an enema.
No. And then I melted one of those Ferrero Rocher truffly bob
things,
the hazelnut things. And it was like a hazelnut angel came in my mouth.
You just dropped it in there? Or?
I let it melt and then stirred it in. And
with the little chunks of nut?
Yep.
Okay.
Oh my god! I got some more of my kitchen unpacked. I'm so close,
yes.
So close to having that kitchen unpacked.
Hooray.
But I finally got my flavor syrups.
Ooh, good.
Out and in place.
Good.
I made myself some True Stone lattes because I fucking could.
So,
oh yes.
Oh yeah.
It's gonna be so good when we start doing our die laughing meetings again.
Yes.
All right. So, but dear listener, clearly we all like our True Stone. You can get True Stone as well, delivered right to your door. Just go to truestonecoffee.com. Order yourself some coffee. Order yourself some merchandise. Put in the promo code
Apropos.
It's apropos flavored.
And get your 10% off your order, and everything will be okay.
Yeah.
Just give me the coffee and nobody gets hurt.
Yeah, right?
All right.
So who's got a shout out?
I do.
I also have.
So the other week I did a shout out to the Wardrobe Refinery.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, if we have not said this since then, Wardrobe Refinery has the and we did talk about this last
week. We did say it, but
they've provided the a promo code apropos love.
Mm-hmm. I believe it's apropos love.
You're an apropos love.
I don't know if it's case sensitive.
Yeah.
Doesn't look like it.
They showed, okay, she entered it as all capital
as
letters,
all caps,
but just in case.
Just in case, yeah. So there is that. However, my new shout-out goes to another stylist of mine, Mr. Justin Link.
Oh, yeah.
At
The Lovely and Talented?
Alchemy.
Alchemy Salon. I kept thinking alchemistry, and that didn't work in my brain because it's not supposed
who
to.
Who I am going to be seeing in the next week or two.
Yeah.
Who I am also going to be seeing in the next week or two.
Ooh. But yeah, he did my hair a couple weeks ago.
Very nice.
And I ended up having an impromptu internal Two of them, actually, internal at work interview type things.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt very confident going to those interviews with not only my fancy wardrobe refinery outfits, but also some fantastic Alchemy salon hair.
Mm-hmm.
He took like a foot off. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I am missing a foot of hair. Which, of course, has made shampooing very interesting, but...
You always use way too much.
I've been shampooing my lower back a lot. Yeah. It's a little funny.
It's a little weird. But I had to shower and go. I didn't have time to do my hair or take care of it or anything. Mm-hmm. And it didn't fucking matter. Because by the time I made my drive into work, my hair was mostly dry. And it just looked amazing. Just having... gone to work like that.
Beautifully boofed coif.
Yeah, no, he did some weird layering thing that's whatever, and then I've got like camouflage color, so I've got like small peaks of purples and oranges in
that's
here.
That's really hard to see.
It's super professional. Oh, Jesus. Fuck, salsa. But it's super professional, but still a little bit playful, and I literally do nothing other than wash it. Like,
looks
I didn't
sharp
even
as
have.
Fuck.
I couldn't find my brush this morning, and I went, fuck it. And I've, like, finger-combed my hair, and it was fine, because he just did an incredible
job. Thought for
job.
A moment you were going to say something else, and good, though.
James.
Yeah?
I fingered my hair.
I thought you were, like, I
James,
thought you were on the cusp of saying.
Stop talking.
Something,
James?
I, okay.
Who's your shout-out?
Okay, my shout-out is to Tom St.
Ooh, okay? I love him.
Yeah, they're wonderful. They are the reason that I got to see Night Vale live, and I wanted to say thank you.
Yep.
But then I also do want to dedicate another part of my shout out to the Wardrobe Refinery. I had my first, I had a closet clean out, and I also received some clothing as well, and you get a discount on some of the items that you procure during your during your meetup. I have shirts that fucking fit, and it's so weird.
Isn't that the best?
It's so weird, and I love it. And, like, other people have been like, wow, that shirt's really good. And I'm like, yeah. It was a lot less than I would have paid for those shirts elsewhere as well. And I love them, and they are comfortable and so good. Yeah. So, those two.
Yeah,
Wardrobe Refinery and Tom St.
Good.
Yeah.
You're going to be shocked. Shout out to Circus World.
Yay.
nobody is surprised. I don't think I need to give my
reasons gasp.
Why. Yeah, it's... Because
Circus is fuck you.
I'm in all seriousness, though, if you want to go on vacation... this coming summer or something like that and have a great time. The Wisconsin Dells is the water park capital of the country, if not the world.
At least the country. I don't think it's the world, but,
but
it is of the country.
At least of the America. Wisconsin Dells is the water park capital of America.
I feel like
America.
There's a place in Asia that has like the water park of amazement.
Seriously, you cannot swing a dead cat without hitting a water park in the Dells.
Don't swing dead
and
cats.
And while you're at the Dells, you can also go see the Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Yeah.
And they have like a magic quest there and just all sorts of... And you get to ride the amphibious
vehicles. I went on that thing with my nephew.
Yeah, go ride the amphibious vehicles and then go down to Baraboo and see Circus World and visit the museum and take the tour and then catch a show there where you will see some fantastic performers. And so Circus World and the Wisconsin Dells, I think that whole kind of like tiny little entertainment hub in the middle of fucking nowhere, Wisconsin, is definitely worth a visit.
It's not very far from Spring Green, which has one of my favorite attractions as well.
What's that?
The House on the Rock.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I've still
tourist
been.
Trap
I still have never been either.
Never been.
I
need,
feel like we
salsa,
should take
we need to go.
A podcast field trip.
Podcast field trip.
Mm-hmm. Podcast field trip.
So, yeah, do those three.
Yeah.
Go to House on the Hill.
House on the Rock.
Circus. House on the Rock.
Yep.
Circus World. And,
don't go to Haunted House on the Hill. Oh, God.
And,
oh, God.
Go to various water parks and attractions in Wisconsin Dells. Hey, everybody.
Hey, Dr. Nick.
Hey, Salsa.
Who the fuck is Dr. Nick?
We had this conversation last week.
I know, and yet he still said it.
I take great because
he already explained it. So,
yes, but I'm not Dr. Nick, so fuck off. No,
but it's a colloquialism based off of a quote of a thing.
One like, that makes no.
It makes all the sense to us and to probably 4/5 of the population. So you're outvoted, Dr. Nick.
Thank you so much for listening to our podcast.
Hey, Salsa.
Hey, Salsa.
How about a Fast Five?
Fast Five!
For those that do not know, Fast Five is you. That's right. You, the dear listener, sends us five choices. Well, we do not know what these choices mean. We only know that we have to make a choice. And it's only after we have made our choices that we open up the second email and find out what all of it means. So today's Fast Five comes to us from... Stefan Muller.
Ooh,
yay! By the way, happy birthday, Stefan!
Yeah. Yes.
Happy birthday. He had one recently.
Yeah.
Without electricity.
Oh, I heard. Yeah.
I'm gonna talk all about the things that I don't know if they're public. But yeah, I know he didn't have electricity, so he put together Lego sets. That made me so happy. I'm like, that's the best birthday ever.
Yeah. Stefan starts by saying hello. Just backing up, a few episodes ago, Stefan sent us in a Fast Five in which he had asked a question that had already been asked before. Right?
Yes,
do you remember this?
I do.
So, Stefan starts us out at, hello, you got me. A question about Nightmare Before Christmas in the month of October is pretty low-hanging fruit. I will have to do better.
Oh, good.
So, shit.
Anyway, by the way, Stefan, we love you. We give you shit, but we love you.
Yeah.
Anyway, on to some hopefully unique questions. Question number one. Flat or voluminous?
We've had this question before.
God damn it. God damn it. The next one is going to be Eastern or European.
Oh, shit. No, I don't think we have.
Voluminous, I'm going with. Just because I like saying it, voluminous. Yeah.
It is a really good word. Voluminous. I'm going to say flat.
Okay.
If it's like a platformer, all of the Sonic games that are flat, that are 2D, are the best. So I'm going to go with flat.
Ooh. Okay.
Yeah.
I like that.
Question number two. Saturday or Sunday?
Saturday.
Ooh, shit.
Easy like Sunday morning.
I like Saturdays because I still have Sunday to look forward to for rest. And I get to do all of the things on Saturdays, and I'm kind of a thing doer.
Yeah.
Sundays, I'm resting, and I'm like, I should be doing something.
Hmm.
No, I'm not supposed to be doing anything because it's Sunday for rest. I'm going to have to do things tomorrow, though.
Mm.
And those things are less fun, the things that I was doing. So, yeah, like I get into brain loops on Sundays. So I'm going to go Saturday because I can just keep going.
Hmm.
See, I feel like most people like Saturday, but Saturday is the most manic day.
Oh, yeah.
Where everybody's like, I've got to do all of these errands, and I've got to go shopping,
everybody
and
plans
I've got
their shit for Saturday
and
night.
Everything is scheduled for Saturday, whereas Sunday is legitimately the day of rest. Like that is the day shit doesn't get scheduled on that day. You're not feeling like you need to run around and do errands.
Yeah, that's why I like Saturday.
Even
like,
if I'm mowing the lawn,
you're like, but it's so manic. I'm like,
I'm a doer too, but I feel like Saturdays are so. Like I said, just scheduled. Like you wake up in the morning, and it's instantly like everybody's like, "We got to go do this thing." Whereas Sunday, it's like I wake up and I can do things at my own pace without feeling like I have to do them.
Now, both of my weekend days are like that, but I typically get to sleep in a little more on Sundays than I do on Saturdays.
Yeah. All right, question number three.
Except for fest season,
glass or ceramic?
Ceramic.
I like glass, personally.
I love pottery.
I wonder if this sounds have like we a had question this question we've before?
If all five, if he purposefully this is chose extremely five that funny. We have all
that we have already had, that would be hilarious.
Like, he does have a sick sense of humor.
Yes. Oh yeah, he does.
Hmm.
He doesn't seem like it, though.
No, yeah.
He's the most unassuming guy, and then, huh? Right. Ah, son of a bitch! I can't believe I stepped in it and fell for it again! Uh-huh.
I like glass.
I also, I like, a beer mug or something. I don't... Hmm. Yeah.
Ceramic...
I'm ceramic.
I'm gonna go with glass.
Okay.
Alright.
Question number four.
Fuck. Or
James.
Nope, that's just it.
You with me on this one? Here we go. Akira.
Oh shit. Or
Neon Genesis Evangelion.
Oh fuck. Oh yeah, this is an amazing question. Okay.
Akira or Evangelion?
Shit.
Okay, so I haven't seen either.
Uh-huh.
I know of Evangelion because mm-hmm. I've heard that's horribly awful, depressing.
Oh yeah,
really fucking good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just like Akira.
Yeah, okay. They're both.
I can't really speak to either of them, but I think I've heard of more of Evangelion, so I'll just go with that.
Sure. Yeah.
Because I don't really have a basis beyond that.
Shit.
The only way to make God this worse it. Would be to throw Lane in there.
Oh, fuck. Or, like, Madoka Magica or something.
I'm
Steven, you have broken the podcast.
Because we could probably talk all day about this, I'm just going to close my fucking eyes and throw a dart and say Akira.
I watched Akira first.
As did I.
So, it wasn't my first anime, or even my first super depressing anime. It might
have been my first anime.
Can you give me just a little bit of Akira? Because, like, Evangelion is, like,
sure.
some weird fucked up thing with puberty and machines, right? That's basically what it is.
Aliens, yes.
Yeah. And Akira's not too different from that.
Biker gangs.
But it is very different.
Ooh, biker gangs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Biker gangs in Neo Tokyo, one of the kids that doesn't fit in is accidentally subjected to an experiment that changes him massively in extremely unexpected and unpleasant ways.
Okay.
And bad things happen.
Okay.
To everyone.
To everything.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh. God, I want to watch it again. Also, one of the coolest fucking motorcycles that has ever existed.
Yes.
But that's really...
All right.
Neither here nor there.
All right, so pick something, James.
I'm going to go with Akira because I think I watched it first.
Okay.
Galaxy Express 3-9 was before that, and that is a depressing fucking movie, but it is very good. But Akira was, I think, second.
All right.
Question number 5.
Yes.
Let me just sneak behind you. Or... Oh, no, you're fine.
Oh, which is the more Minnesotan?
I don't know, but
more Minnesotan is oop.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah.
I think the more Minnesotan is oh no, you're fine.
Yeah.
I don't know. There's something about let me just sneak behind you here.
Yeah.
That feels much more Minnesota specific as opposed to oh no, you're fine, which is kind of got a broader usage to it, I think.
Yeah. I can imagine, like, Chris O'Dowd saying, oh no, you're fine, like, an extremely Irish, very sarcastic, very obviously not fine, but, yeah.
I'm going to go with
you're
sneak.
Fine. You're fine. Yeah.
I'm going to go sneak.
Yeah? Oh, that's good.
I did actually catch myself using that phrase, like, a week or two ago, and I'm like, fuck me. This is where stereotypes come from, Jenna.
Which one are you more likely to use in bed?
Well, then it's definitely let me just sneak behind you here.
I think I'll go... I'm still going with, oh, no, you're fine.
I'll go with, oh, no, you're fine. Yeah.
Good. All right. Shit. And now context. Question number one, flat or voluminous?
Yes.
I took voluminous.
Yes, I chose flat. Yeah.
Which kind of bread do you prefer to make? Flat bread or yeast risen bread? I prefer yeast risen.
I also love them all.
But I like to make yeast breads.
No, like making. I like making them all. I'm not good at any of it, but I like doing any of it.
What about the mug bread that you made?
Oh, the mug bread?
Oh.
Oh. I don't think that's much of a... Well, is that raisin? I guess technically.
It was sort of
pockety.
It's really pockety. It had
fluffiness.
It's pockety and fluffety. That actually wasn't my favorite bread to make.
Fair.
I enjoy it because it's quick and easy, and suddenly egg bread.
Yeah.
I think it would make a great French toast, but yeah, right. Like I'm doing that next time I'm making French toast. It's just microwaving a bunch of that shit. I think. I think I'm gonna have to switch to voluminous.
Okay. I think I do too.
There's something like about it. the process of pounding and waiting and. Mm. Getting just the right amount of warm to get the right amount of poof.
A good, soft, warm loaf of bread with butter.
Yep.
Fresh baked bread. Fresh out of the oven. And now we have a proofer, too, so that's awesome.
Yes. Just telling somebody that you got a proofer.
My wife and I were just talking about it. We're going to do some baking with the kids this weekend.
Nice.
Yeah.
This weekend, this will be October, what will this
20th, 21st?
20th and 21st.
And the current time is 11:48.
October 20th and 21st will be this coming weekend.
Yeah.
October 20th will be the first weekend I will be home.
Yep.
Since August 11th.
Yeah.
I knew that's where this was going. How do you feel about having a weekend, Salsa?
I'm going to be home on a weekend.
You're going to remember why you're gone
in over 2 months.
Oh.
James, did you like how I waited until you took that sip before I said that was for you.
Superb timing.
So, thank you.
Question number two. Saturday or Sunday?
Well,
outside of Fest, which weekend day do you prefer to schedule events in order to leave the other day free? Day do you prefer to schedule events in order to leave the other day free? Saturday.
Yep, Saturday.
I
called it. Saturday's a working day.
I'm the worst person to ask about this shit.
I mean, you could have just ended the sentence after the first five words.
Yeah. James just prefers to schedule events in.
Yep.
Yeah.
I'm going to say I more often have time on Sunday to do shit. So that's typically when I'm...
But is that because you've already scheduled?
Yeah, that Saturday? Might be. Fuck.
Like...
Saturday. All right.
Saturday's your planning day. Sunday's your last minute planning day.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's all right. The breakup. Yeah. That's what that is.
I concur.
Yeah.
Mm. Question number three. Glass or ceramic?
Ceramic. Yeah.
Which craft do you want to learn more at this moment?
Oh.
Glass blowing or pottery?
I already know pottery.
Pottery too, so yeah.
I don't know pottery, but I still want to learn glass blowing. I know how to do lamp work, and I know how to do like plates and stuff, but glass blowing? Fuck yes, I want to learn that.
Yeah.
I would actually, I really do want to get back into throwing again.
Oh, yeah.
I miss it, and I was actually... That's one of those things I was kind of naturally talented at.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I took classes all 4 years in high school because we had them. And because fucking clay.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I sat down, like, my first time at a wheel. I had done everything the instructor said. And then I went to do the centering. And I just, like, took to it naturally. And he's like, all right, we're going to try making bowls. And I made this bowl. And it was fucking beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably one of the best bowls I've ever made. And it was just like, yep. And it was super thin. And it was solid. And it was, that's just something like I took to and I understood instinctively.
I kept sneaking into a ceramics class in high school. and I convinced, like, the art teacher.
Did you wear a trench coat?
She was either.
I'm picturing the snow.
like, chances are pretty good that she fucking knew what was happening and that she just let me come in and do art. But, you know, like, because that's, if you're sneaking in to do art, fucking do it. But yeah. At the time, I was like, she smokes a lot of weed. She probably won't notice. She's probably just, I'll just tell her that I'm in this class and...
Yeah.
That I was recently added.
Right.
Right. And so I went in and I would, like, throw stuff and, you know, mostly vases and mugs and things like that. Yeah. And then I would mark them and I'd be like, all right, they're going to put this through for the initial thing and I'm going to have this thing that I'd like and I'll pay for the clay and whatever. But people kept stealing my projects and then like getting credit for them.
Aww, son of a bitch.
So that's fine.
So somebody had your number.
Right. Yeah.
You guys. Kevin.
Caulfield?
Yeah, he actually offers classes.
That's awesome.
Oh, we should fucking go.
That would be an exciting evening.
I've never done it. I would be interested in learning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we could go do that.
Let's go find that.
Yeah.
You know, we keep saying we're going to go do things, and we never do.
You and I do.
Gonna do the, well, yeah, well, one time.
Twice now.
Okay, twice now.
Hey, we said we were going to do...
Actually, more than...
We said we were going to do breakfast, and we did breakfast together.
That's true.
There is also that.
Yeah.
I'm just saying we don't have the greatest track
record. We don't do 90% of the things.
No. You know
what
we need?
That's why we say lots of them.
I legitimately want to do this one, though.
I feel like we really need a project manager.
Honey, you guys can't afford me.
I was just about to say that. I was literally just about to say that.
You can't afford me.
Don't make eye contact. Don't make eye contact.
Okay. I don't
also,
know,
I'm going to end you later, just so you're aware.
I have been making pretty good tips these past few weekends, but I still can't afford
No. No.
No.
Question number 4.
Yes.
Yeah.
Akira or Neon Genesis Evangelion?
Yes.
Which was the more not good introduction to anime in the mid-90s?
Yeah, I watched Sailor Moon. I'm no good for any of this.
I have my answer.
Go ahead.
More of the people that I know who were extremely toxic in the community were deeply into Evangelion for the wrong reasons. And were more like gatekeepers and shitty assholes about anime when they were huge fans of Neon Genesis versus people who liked Akira. Because I know very few people who are like, wow, Akira is my favorite, you know? But I... Pretty much universally, if someone was like, oh, I love Neon Genesis Evangelion. It's my favorite. It's the best anime that ever was. I have all of these t-shirts and all of these things. And they're just... It's not universally true.
Oh, this really actually matches up really well with...
But they're kind of fucking dicks.
What I know about Evangelion, and, the two people specifically I had conversations with about... and they are... Yep.
And you want to know what? Listeners, maybe you love them, and maybe you got better. But let's be real honest. Let's be real honest, you and me. I liked it too. And I had to grow out of a lot of shit after that. So, and I'm still not great. All right.
Yeah, but you're better than Salsa, so.
Oh, infinitely.
I'm getting that on a shirt.
Better than Salsa.
So...
I'm getting Salsa.
I'm gonna say people who watch Akira and did not see Evangelion are probably a better influence on the community and better community members.
While I don't necessarily agree with what you're saying, I am also going to go with Evangelion, just because I think that Akira is more of a. As a stepping stone into anime,
like, sure.
If you could get through that, then you were fucking all in.
Yeah.
Eh.
Whereas I feel like Evangelion started out so
tropey, usual, pedestrian.
Akira was one that fucking ripped you apart in 15 different ways. Evangelion, for the first dozen episodes or whatever, was extremely palatable.
Yeah.
And
oh, yeah.
It wasn't until the end where it really took a fucking turn. And I feel like it, because of that, it sucked in a lot of people who probably would not have normally liked that sort of thing.
Sure.
With a false sense of security at the beginning.
Oh, fair enough.
And suddenly it warped things at the very end when they were already too pot committed to abort.
Sure. Mm. Huh.
Yeah. And I think that skewed some people because of it.
I guess that is a completely different way to look at the question, and also a totally valid one, completely valid one, is not necessarily which one is more toxic, but which one is more daunting as an introduction. Yeah.
Either way.
Yep.
Evangelion.
Question number 5.
Cheers.
Just let me sneak behind you. Or, oh no, you're fine. Apart from OP,
yes.
Which stereotypical Minnesotan phrase do you think you say more?
Whoa.
I don't think I say any of those ones at all, except your. Oh no, you're fine. I think that's the only one I probably say at all.
I know I've caught myself saying all of them. I'm from the North Shore though, so that's my excuse. Yeah. But I feel like, oh no, you're fine is something that I use more.
Uh-huh.
It really stands out to me when I use just let me sneak behind you.
Sure.
And I think that's because I don't use it as much.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So I'm going to say probably, oh no, you're fine.
I'm going to amend that. I do occasionally say, I'm just going to sneak behind you a little bit. I do say that now that I think about it. But I definitely say, oh, no, you're fine. I definitely say
you
that.
You say that all the time.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm, yeah. Oh, no, you're fine is 100% something that I say.
Yep.
Usually when people are like, excuse me, I just, I no, have to. No, you're fine. If somebody's like, oh, just let me sneak behind you for a minute. I'm like, oh, no, you're fine.
Yep. Yeah.
Fuck. All right.
Although I think I've gotten better about that because that is one that I've used so often. I'm like, well, God, this is just getting boring now. Like, you know, I'll say, oh, that's okay. Or, you know, other variants. But I've also tried to make more of a concerted effort to just be like, thank you. Just that. Just thank you.
Yep.
Or it didn't offend me, but I appreciate the thought behind it, or whatever, you know, stuff like that.
All right, well, thank you so very much to Stefan for that Fast Five.
Yeah, that was fucking great.
If you would like to send in a Fast Five, please send 2 emails to salsa at aonpodcast.com. The first one will contain nothing but the 5 choices, and the second one, repeat your choice, and then put in the context so we know what the fuck it is we're actually answering.
And who is right?
God, you really love that phrase.
I do.
He adores it.
he does. It makes
almost him as happy. Much as Hi, Dr. Nick. who's got something to plug?
So there's a few things going on. There is the Phantoms Feast going on at the Trail of Terror type stuff. I'm plugging that because I might be going this weekend.
Oh.
But it is put on by Mr. Jim Cunningham. Of Jim Cunningham fame, the feast master of masterage and local voice and phenomenon. So,
oh yeah,
I do recommend that. It's a good time, good food. Go with friends. It's better with friends just to hang out and whatever. But yeah. So that's the thing that's going on. Impossible Salt has their production of Heartless opening this weekend.
Yes.
So that's a thing to go check out. I don't know what the website is. Just Google Impossible Salt and you'll find it. Guaranteed.
Yeah.
I had another one that I was going to say. There's Double Blind this Thursday. Fuck. Yeah, I don't remember anything beyond that.
I believe Fearless Presents is coming up.
Oh, yes. That was it. Is it this Sunday or next Sunday?
This coming Sunday. At 7 o'clock at Strike Theater is Fearless Presents Brother Brother Improv.
Yeah.
Also, if you would like to learn how to be a better auditionee. Fearless Workshops. Fearless has workshops every month, and the workshop is also this Sunday at 9:30 a.m. At the Nicolette Community Gathering Space. Information on the website.
Yeah.
Do it. FearlessComedyProductions.com. Mm-hmm.
Also of note, this is not happening in the Twin Cities. This is happening over in Fergus Falls, but Masquerade at Mystery Lodge is on Friday at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
At the Bigwood Event Center.
Nice.
Again, all the Fearless information can be found on the website.
When is Mummy?
FearlessComedyProductions.com.
When's Mummy going up?
Mummy begins next month. Very shortly. In fact, that was going to be my plug.
Ha-ha.
Starting the first three weekends of November, Fridays and Saturdays at 7:30 p.m. at Strike Theater. So that is... I'm sorry, no. We missed the first weekend because it's the... So November... 9th, 10th, 16th, 17th, 23rd, 24th.
Okay.
Is the Riddle of the Mummy at Strike Theater, 7 p.m.
I'm pretty 7:30
p.m.
for that.
Shows. I am fucking ecstatic because this show is funny. And not just because I'm in it. It's funny because I'm in it a little bit and not a lot.
Yeah. Story checks out.
Yep.
Yeah.
No, that'll be a really good show written by a friend of the show, guest. A few times, Megan Slauson.
Yay!
Yay!
It's a really good script. Lauren Haven is directing it. And,
yay!
And, yeah, should be good. Anything else?
I did think of one more thing. Twin Cities Horror Festival.
Ooh, yeah.
Starts up next week.
Fuck yes.
Go to that. There's a lot of good stuff.
Mm.
There's, The Devil and the Deep Blue Sea is, cussing.
Yes.
The Reverend Matt... of Monster Science fame. So you definitely want to see that. There's also Legend of Sleepy Hollow, produced by Doc Washington.
Yeah.
And involving many different Fearless people and previous guests that we have had on this podcast. So, yeah, do that. Go. There's also, I don't know, some kind of hot dog movie thing. It sounds lame.
Yeah.
But.
Anything else, James?
Only for the end of the month. Got plenty of time.
Cool. All right. Thank you so very much, dear listeners, for listening to the show. Keep on sending in those fast fives and keep eating the fucking cake.
I love you. Bye. Bye.
Take it away, salsa.
Cha.
Cha, 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 cha.
Verbal Jazz Fingers.
Verbal Jazz Fingers is the name of my new Led Zeppelin cover band.